There's just too much going on in baseball right now, too much confusion, and a lot to unpack. So what better thing to do right now amongst all this confusion than to go into the vaults and play some more from the cutting room floor? This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. For those of you watching me on YouTube, you can tell right there, my lower third, you can call me Sully. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available for free on all your podcast platforms. And hey, this is available wherever you get your podcasts. We're dropping this one on the first day of December, where my true love gave to me the opportunity to potentially retitle this podcast. Maybe it won't be Locked On MLB. Maybe it'll be Locked Out MLB. Anyway, by the way, we're available on Twitter, Locked On MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. If you have a smart device, be sure to tell it to play Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Phillies with Dan Wilson. Why did I bring that one up? I'll tell you that in just a second. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, Locked On MLB Pods. I think I already said that. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. There's so much to unpack, so much confusion. And I'm not going to do another podcast where I'm staying up really late and waking up really early. I want to just sort of see all the dust settles, okay? Lots of things have happened. Stroman just signed with the Cubs. We're not sure where Correa is yet. Baez is with the Tigers. The Yankees are trying to see if, Greg Gagne or some other shortstop from the 1990s is available, because they got to save that dough. We're on the verge of a lockout. We're not even sure if that's official yet. And I want to just wait to see all the dust to settle. And then we can sort of take a step back and take a look at the effect of a lockout, where teams have done what, why the Yankees are suddenly cheap, why the Mets are suddenly crazy with money, and everything like that, and sort of see what's going to happen in the midst of things. So while I'm going to wait to have a little bit of perspective on this instead of trying to play whack-a-mole, I'm going to do one of the things I'm going to do a few times during the course of the offseason, which is to go back to some of the podcasts that I have dropped that were basically, there was a lot of good stuff in some of the podcasts that I did that didn't make it into the show. And there, sometimes, if you're trying to make these a reasonably length podcast, sometimes you got to cut stuff out. Sometimes stuff doesn't quite fit. But some of those things you cut out are kind of entertaining. So I throw them in a little folder, knowing I got an off season. I know there's some fun conversations we can have. Well, back in June, Dan Wilson was the brand new host of Locked On Phillies. And we were on the Zoom for a long time. Now, this is before we were doing this on YouTube, so that's audio only, but we're still here on YouTube. I was going to call Pixar to see if we can spend millions and millions of dollars recreating a visual for the interview, but alas, we haven't sold that many Built Bars, so we're going to have to just play it the other way. But Dan Wilson, not the former catcher for the Mariners. I'm wearing my Mariners shirt today, by the way. But the wonderful Philadelphia mind was on the podcast. And we went on all sorts of tangents. And the show that we did wound up dropping on the 25th day of June. And it was, it was at that point the Phillies and the Mets were playing what we thought was going to be a make or break season, because the Braves were the most disappointing team in baseball, allowing the Mets and Phillies to contend while the Braves were floundering as a sub-500 team. Well, that was an entire World Series parade ago that we recorded that. But along the way, we talked about some interesting things, including why I, your pal Sully, have a soft spot in my heart for the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, I cut this part out initially because it was not enough about Dan. It didn't really have anything to do with the rest of the podcast, but I thought it was fun and interesting and gives another perspective of me. And it's also, you know, fun to talk about the Phillies. So here's a little bit of my conversation back in June that never made it to air, but it's making it to your earbuds right now. Dan Wilson of Locked On Phillies. I have this book nearby. I got this when I was in the second grade, and it's called All Pro Baseball Stars 1980. And this is pre baseballreference.com. You got your stats from books like this.
So that's Baseball Reference before the internet.
Yeah. I was Baseball Reference before the internet.
You yourself were Baseball Reference.
Yes, but you see who's on the cover right there.
That Michael? No, sorry, Pete Rose. That's looked Pete like Mike Rose. Smith for a second.
That's Pete Rose in a Phillies uniform, and it was prescient. They didn't pick the Phillies to win the World Series, but they had a 1980 Philly on the cover for their preview magazine there. So, yes, that's a little bit of the brain that I have that there. But hey, welcome aboard. I got to tell you, I have a huge soft spot in my heart.
Yeah, tell me about this because you mentioned it. Yeah,
for the Phillies. There's two reasons. First of all, when I was younger and not afraid, and I was growing up in the Northeast in New England with the Red Sox and everything like that, it never occurred to me as a kid that the Red Sox would be allowed to play in the postseason. I thought what happened was all the teams play, and at the end of the year, the Phillies play the Dodgers and the Royals play the Yankees. That's how it works. And I was really rudely surprised in 1979 when none of those teams were invited to play in the postseason. And then I realized it was kind of a shock. And I felt like, oh, you have to earn your way in. I thought it was like an invitation. But my cousins, I had many, many cousins who lived in Wilmington, Delaware. There was a big chunk of my family worked for DuPont, including my grandfather. And a lot of them grew up in Wilmington. And so for a while, and this is when we're talking Phillies, Steve Carlton, Michael Jack Schmidt, Bake McBride, Manny Trio, Steve Carlton, obviously Tug McGraw, Larry Christensen, Pete Rose, eventually, you know, Greg Luzinski. These were the Phillies, and that's with 15 P's. And this is when this is the greatest Phillies teams of all time. And so I kind of would adopt the Phillies in the postseason.
They were your October team, yeah.
Well, I wanted my cousins to experience happiness.
Sure, sure, of course.
I love my cousins, Bill, John, and Sheila, and Mary Ellen. And I remember once when they came to visit, or my grandmother had our home in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and we went to visit her, and my cousins from Delaware showed up with a program from Veterans Stadium. And I must've been 8, maybe 9 at the time. And I'm looking at this from Veterans Stadium and the diagram of Veterans Stadium. And I thought, that's so beautiful. I'm stuck with going to this dumpy Fenway Park, and they get to go to this beautiful Veterans Stadium. And it was amazing. Absolutely engrossed me that I was so intrigued by National League Baseball. And this is a team that was allowed to win the World Series. And I remember I used to pretend to be Tug McGraw on my front yard in Massachusetts, jumping up and down with his arms up in the air. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to be a reliever. That was my big fantasy, was to be a relief pitcher. And then later when I was in Little League, my team was the Phillies. And so I got my Phillies hat, and we had the worst uniforms. This is 1980s Little League uniforms, and they were awful. They weren't even the right color. They were like dark blue, and it just said Phillies across. It was the worst Little League uniforms ever, but the hats were correct. And so I had my Phillies hat, and I wore that with absolute pride. And, I do not think I've ever, the only one time I've ever rooted against the Phillies in a postseason series was in the 2010 National League Championship Series, because my father, may rest in peace, was the single greatest Giants fan of all time, both New York and San Francisco. And at that time, they had not won the World Series yet. And the Phillies, I thought, were going to rampage to their third straight pennant. And the Giants upset them. But every other, I'm thinking every other scenario, 80, 80, 83, 93, 07, 08, 09, 2010, 2011, all the years the Phillies won the postseason, I really rooted hard for the Phillies, except for that one time against San Francisco. So yeah, I have a soft spot in my heart, and so many of my favorite players over the years have been Phillies. I just thinking about that, like, you know, Carlton and Bake McBride and Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard and Cole. I love Cole Hamels and Lee and Halliday. I mean, there's so many players, Victorino, who eventually went to Boston. So many players I absolutely adored rooting for wore the Philly uniform. So yeah, I have no ill will against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, those are the guys. The guys you just started mentioning are the guys I really grew up on. So really quick, because I actually don't know about your background. So you are a lifelong Red Sox fan then, growing up in New England?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I've become less interested in one team and more interested in the whole sport.
Baseball as a whole. Okay.
And seeing the Sox win multiple World Series allows me to have that more of a Zen approach to fandom, I will admit. But I got to be honest, it's the whole picture of it is more interesting to me now. And that's one of the reasons I do this show as opposed to Lockdown
Red Sox. An individual team. Sure.
But yeah, I grew up in New England, but then we moved to the San Francisco Bay Area when I was in high school. I lived in New York for a long time, moved back to California. I've not been to Citizens Bank Ballpark, but I have been to the Vet.
Okay. I'm 23 right now, but I did make it to the Vet actually a few times.
Oh, wow.
And my first ever Phillies game was in 1998. Was one, I think, literally the first interleague series the Tampa Bay then Devil Rays ever played was at Veterans Stadium. I was in attendance as a not even one-year-old.
And an eerie foreshadowing to the lone World Series title that you would witness.
Correct. Yes. I made it back there in 2000 a couple times, I think. I'm really young.
Yeah, I know, but you are. You're making that very, very clear to me.
Yeah. So I don't mean to make, you know, anyone feel old here. And then 2003, I was at the final game at Veterans Stadium. It was a game against the Braves. I distinctly remember Chase Utley hitting into a double play to end the entire stadium. No one knew that Chase Utley would become Chase Utley, the Phillies legend at that point. But I've been to Citizens Bank Park hundreds of times at this point. I've grown up on the stadium. I grew up with that 07 to 11 run of Phillies fandom. My dad and family would consistently remind me that I was completely spoiled with Phillies baseball. And every passing year that goes by, I am now coming to learn that. Because as we were talking before we started recording, this is not a team with extensive postseason experience. Like, there have been year after year after year where this team has just been bad and dreadful. They've existed since 1883. You're right. Maybe the worst decision in the history of Philadelphia sports was keeping the Phillies over the A's, because frankly, they go on little spurts where they contend for the playoffs. But other than that, they're usually not in it. And the playoffs have expanded. And you were mentioning that Giants series in 2010 to the national audience here. Do you realize the Phillies have not won a playoff series since then? Like, they made it back in 2011, lost in the first round to the Cardinals. Haven't been back since. It's the second longest playoff drought in baseball. And thank goodness for the Seattle Mariners not making the playoffs since 2001, that they don't have the longest.
Well, there you go. We're going to keep going. It was no surefire bet back then that the National League MVP was going to be Bryce Harper. But here we go. Here we go. The Phillies have an MVP. And if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online. It remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Las Vegas casino game, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. which is almost over. We got one more month of 2021. Then we better change this copy to 2022. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Okay, here's a little more of my conversation with Dan Wilson. We were talking about recent Phillies triumphs and frustrations.
It's not been a good decade for the Phillies here.
Yeah, and it was startling. I mean, the ending of that 2011 season, because I remember frequent guest of the show and lifelong Philly fan, Michael Ferraro, who's a wonderful writer, author, and we used to work together on a TV show. And I was convinced that whole year, because the Phillies won back-to-back pennants, winning it all in 2008.
08, 09, yeah.
Yeah, then 09, they lost to New York. That they ran up against a Giants team that just was hot at the right time. I think Philadelphia was a better team.
Was starting their dynasty.
Yeah, and it was the classic, like the reason why the Braves only won the one series is because with the great pitching they had, same thing with the Phillies ran headlong to a team that could match their pitching in a short series. That's what happened so many times with the Bobby Cox Braves. That in a short series, they found that, okay, we can match you for seven games. We can't match you for 162, but we can match you for seven. And that's kind of what happened there, that Lincecum beat Halliday. And you know, then they wound up getting the, you know, the Cody Ross, of all people, becomes the big offense hero for the Giants. But the next year, and I remember saying to Michael Ferraro that whole year, I said, if this Phillies team won in 2011. I said, if this Phillies team wins, then this Philadelphia Phillies team is going on the greatest run of any Philadelphia team ever. That they would have three trips to the World Series, a pair of titles. And I said, you know, you can go back maybe to the Connie Mack A's, but I have a hard time doing any pre-integration team as the greatest team of all time. So you'd probably have what, the Moses Malone, Dr. J.
Yeah, again, Fixers. Philadelphia sports, not exactly the greatest history.
Right. I mean, that's what I was saying. Yeah. That's what I was saying. That, like, there was no Eagles dynasty. I said that, no. you had the Broad Street Bullies with the Flyers. You had the great run that the Phillies had under Mike Schmidt, where they were constantly in the postseason between 76 and 83. But I said, if this team wins multiple titles, this has to be the greatest Philadelphia team of all time.
And up
until the point where Ryan Howard fell in a heap, I was convinced they were going to win that series. Not a molecule of my body felt they were going to lose it. Even when they're losing 1-0 with Carpenter on the mound. Yeah, I'm doing this from memory. What do you want from me? And they lost it 1-0, and Ryan Howard hits the grounder and falls like a bag of potatoes. And they haven't had a winning season since.
Yeah, and I'm starting to, and again, I'm going to put more on my age here, but for the longest time, like that's the prime sports rooting. That's like this prime sports fan ages, right? Like that was that 07 to 11. That was me in fourth through eighth grade, like ages 10 to 14, mm-hmm. when you're most impressionable. And we're like, wow, baseball is great every single year. Like everyone's favorite sport was baseball. Even people who didn't like baseball were wearing Phillies jerseys. And people were painting the town red year after year after year. Citizens Bank Park was the hottest club in town. Like it was such a big deal. You got an extra Phillies ticket, we're going tonight. 45,000 plus night after night after night. And it's upsetting that now more of my life has been spent watching the decline, which is, and it's ironic also, you mentioned 2011. So I look at those teams from 07 to 11. If you take 08 to 11, the win totals keep going up and up. The postseason finishes decline by around each year. So 08, they win the World Series. 09, they win more games than in 08. They lose the World Series. 2010, they win more games. They lose the NLCS. 2011, they win 102 games, best record in baseball. They lose in five to the Cardinals. I look at that series. You know, you said you held out hope. I had held out hope, you know, a wide-eyed 14-year-old. I distinctly remember being at game two of that series where Cliff Lee blew a four-run lead. I would tell you that was the turning point in that series. They should have had that game. They should have been up 2-0. Instead, they let it go 1-1. They went back to St. Louis, split there. And then we saw one of the greatest pitching duels of all time that no one in Philadelphia wants to appreciate, because a first inning run for the Cardinals off of Roy Halladay literally won the entire game. And there wasn't a single run scored since. And the Phillies have not played a playoff game since, because the year after that, they basically go 500. 2013, 14, 15 just gets worse and worse and worse. And now we're seeing the product of a rebuild. And I know we're going to get into this current team in a little bit that is not the same caliber of teams that we saw years ago. And after years and years of losing, there's a lot of frustration with this team because we're not seeing the results that losing for that long is supposed to bring.
Right. And especially because you've seen several teams build and rebuild, including the former Philadelphia A's have tore down the team, and not that they've won a pennant out of it, but they've become contenders year in and year out. And you saw two teams specifically, the Chicago Cubs and the Houston Astros, completely put two sticks of dynamite in their teams from the early 2010s and saw the result. This is a lockdown therapy with Dan Wilson. Tell us more about your childhood. But I have what's called the rule of seven, which is you don't really start forming sports memories until you're about 7 years old. But you're right that once you have your first memories when you're around seven, but like when you're around 8, 9, or 10 years old, that's when you're starting to understand the rhythm of the game. You've experienced a few seasons, you get the hang of it. You're starting to build up your memories of your own. And to have, I mean, you should feel in a way blessed. I mean, think about a Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, it could have gone very differently. Like kids now, I feel bad for kids now who are just growing up on bad Phillies teams. Like I am one of the very few generations in the history of Philadelphia that got winning baseball through their late elementary and middle school years.
Between 1915 and 1976, the Phillies won one pennant.
Not great. Yeah.
There was one Phillies October in that stretch. And up until the 1980 World Series, the Phillies won one World Series game. Not one World Series.
Like a single game. Yeah.
Game in 1915. Okay, one more segment here with Dan Wilson of Locked On Phillies. Now, keep in mind, we were talking at the time about the Phillies as contenders in the 2021 season and the Mets looking like they were going to be the team to beat. This was back in June when the Braves were falling apart. We had no idea the Braves were going to go on to win the World Series. But here's a little more with Dan Wilson of Locked On Phillies. So you go through the history.
It's really frustrating. Like people in Philadelphia love, there's teams that people love to get on here in Philadelphia. People aren't particularly fond of the Mets. Well, they've won two World Series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But then take a team like the Marlins, an expansion franchise who doesn't draw well, and they're a very easy team to make fun of. Well, I got news for you. The Marlins have just as many World Series titles as the Phillies do in a much shorter amount of time. Much. And I mean, talk about a weird team. They've never won the division, but they've won the World Series twice and lost their first ever playoff round last year.
Yeah.
But look, there have been teams around for far shorter periods of time. And most of the teams who have been around as long as the Phillies have won much more just on sheer just opportunity. And the Phillies have not. And again, 1980, 2008, something about those, the number zero and the number eight must be really good luck for the Phillies. But man, oh man, they have not. Again, it's not even just that they haven't won World Series, but more recently just not been in contention, because baseball is just such a bummer of a sport to follow day in and day out when your team's not out of it. It's a really long season. It's really fun when you're good, obviously, but it's the worst sport to be bad at, because the dog days of July and August, and it's day after day after day of just losing baseball, and especially with this Phillies team, the way they find ways to lose games. I'm not suggesting that the season is over or anything by that stretch, but there have been a lot of seasons that I've watched recently that it's just really, if I wasn't a baseball diehard, I would have serious trouble keeping interest in all the way to the end.
I went through most of my childhood without the Red Sox playing in the postseason because I was too young to remember 1975. and I was 14 years old in 1986. And so most of my upbringing was like, I don't know if I'll ever see the Red Sox in the postseason. Yeah. And I can tell you, there were some years where the Red Sox were good, just not better than, you know, the Tigers or the Orioles or the Yankees or whoever. And there's some years they flat out stunk. And
those are just the worst. When they're not even, they don't even have a shot.
Well, one year they flat out stunk, but it was Yastrzemski's final season. So there was a celebration that whole year.
Sure. A farewell tour.
Yeah, it was a farewell tour. The whole season was dedicated to Yaz. And then there were some years where they were out of it, but they had like, oh, we got this kid Clemens and Hurst has developed. So when you can cling to certain players and say, wait a minute, this is okay. They're not good now. The worst, and I've seen a bunch of teams, and the Phillies have had a bunch of teams like this too. The worst is being old and bad. That is just when you're a veteran team that stinks.
There's nothing on the horizon. There's no light at the end of the tunnel.
This is it. This is it's like going to a party and it's filled with just the worst people. Like, well, maybe someone else is going to stop by. No,
this is
no one's stopping by with dip. No one's stopping by to live in the party. This is it. And, you know, I'm not in favor of tanking. I actually kind of like the method that the Red Sox did in 2013 and the Giants did in 2021, which is basically, let's just fill in our holes with as many short-term free agents as we can and see what happens. And the Royals tried to do that too, not to as much success, but I admire when a team says, hey, let's just
go for it.
Let's patch our holes, not do anything stupid, but let's patch our holes. And if worse comes to worse, we'll flip these people for prospects later. But the stagnancy of, oh boy, really? This is what we got?
Well, I don't know if old is the word I would use to describe the Phillies, but the team was supposed to be better than it currently is. Yeah. At this point, you're looking at year three of a Bryce Harper contract in his prime. You're looking at year one of a 5-year deal on JT Realmuto. You're looking at the primes of Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Zach Eflin, Alec, like go around the infield. It's not like they have, and the farm system isn't good. Like the farm system isn't good. And you're looking at a team that was supposed to be able to win right now. So I don't know if you want to say it's old, it's all guys who are washed up, but this is kind of it. Like, this is what this whole rebuild has built up to. And the team just hovers around 500 for the first 2.5 months of the season. It's really disappointing because you almost feel like they're in a position where they're stuck. Like, this is the ceiling of this team. How are they supposed to get any better? It feels like the problems on the team are bigger than anything they could fix in a trade deadline. And it also doesn't feel like the group they currently have is going to get much better record-wise. You're trailing the division 5 games to what's been a depleted Mets team. They're starting to get their guys back. And I know you mentioned, I actually happen to agree with you. Like, this is as much of, it seems a little premature in June to say this weekend is the season, but this is as big as a June series gets. Like, 4 games at Citi Field on the road where they have not been good. A team you're trailing, and the only path to the playoffs likely is going to be through the NL East. Like, is it ridiculous to say they need to win 3 of 4 just to keep themselves in it?
Well, what I'm saying is you've basically said 90% of my notes in, okay. In that little rant you just did right there. Let's just go through this for a second. Let's pick through, because you and I agree that there's a real sense of urgency going on.
There has to be. It literally has to be. Team. Yeah.
Because take a look for everyone who just, you made the point, I'll make the point here right now, that the most realistic path for the Phillies to make the postseason is the National League East. They're not better than Los Angeles. They're not better than San Francisco. They're not better than San Diego. They're not better than Milwaukee. So any hope of winning a wild card spot is
the NL East feels like a one, like I almost feel like I'm talking about college basketball here. I said this earlier today on a podcast. It feels like a one bid division. Like, it feels like one team's going to come out of the NL East.
And right now, even though the Washington Nationals are on an absolute roll right now, the Nationals with this great run that they've had have risen to the spectacular level of 500 and a negative run differential. Okay. that, I mean, yeah, I know that all my Nats friends are saying like, hey, this is 2019 all over again. No, this is, we are showing off our Lesters and Scherzers as trade bait right now. That's what's going on here. The Phillies right now, as we record this, are three games under 500. They have a negative run differential of negative 13. They are currently 8 games out of a wild card spot, which is just not going to happen. But
there's too many teams to jump off, though.
Yeah, but they are 5 games back of the Mets, and they're about to start a 4-game series with the Mets. And I do not think it's hyperbole to say this is the season. This, because, you know, before anyone says, oh, it's, you still got half the year left. Yeah, but think about it. If, let's say, the Phillies have a great weekend and they wake up and they're like 2 or 3 games out and they can say, oh, okay, all right, the Mets are not a impervious team. We could catch up to them if we shore up the bullpen and make a few moves here or there. If they have a bad weekend and you look up and say, God, we're 4 or 5 games under 500. We've got a negative 20 run differential. We're 7 games out of first place, and we're about to enter July. That's when you say, we got to sell. Or at least, because they don't have a lot of pieces to sell, quite frankly.
But you don't have a lot of pieces to sell, and you almost have to sell with the mindset, short of, which I don't think they're going to do at the trade deadline, short of selling Bryce Harper's 13-year contract or JT Realmuto's 5-year deal, like you have to sell with the intention of trying to build it back up next year. That's why I kind of said they're stuck. Like the timeline of where their head is not lining up with the timeline of the production on the field. And that's a problem. And that's as bad as anything. Just like you were kind of saying, watching old talent, like nothing at the end of the tunnel. Like this is the end of the tunnel. And and there's nothing to look forward to. Like this was supposed to be the end of the tunnel. This was supposed to be the year they contend for the playoffs. Last year was supposed to be a year they contend for the, in an expanded postseason. They managed to miss the playoffs because they couldn't win one more game the final week of the year. They won 9 of 10 and still the bullpen was so bad. A 7.11 ERA. A 7.11 ERA, the worst in 90 years. Ironically, the Phillies also had that ERA 90 years ago. Worst bullpen ERA in 90 years, and they missed the playoffs by a game in an expanded playoff format because that's how freaking bad they were.
Thanks so much, Dan Wilson of Locked On Phillies. Hey, be sure to follow Dan Wilson at Dan_Wilson4. That's on Twitter. You can follow the Locked On Phillies podcast at LO_Phillies. It's a great podcast. They're doing a great job there. And the Phillies are, well, you know, they could be a fun team to watch. I'm not 100% sure what's going on there. Neither do you. But it was a lot of fun having Dan on way back then. We got to have you back on again, Dan. Talk a little bit about the Phillies going on. But I was a little bit of the vault as we're trying to figure out what's happening and trying to sort what's happening in the whole lockout situation. Why not just say, hey, while we're figuring it out, enjoy this conversation with Dan Wilson, which, even though we recorded back in June, it's all new to you. And it's all new to me. And thanks once again for making Locked On MLB your first listen. And what your second listen should be? It should be Locked On Bets. The podcast will take care of all your gambling needs as your boy Q hosts it along with expert analysis from Lee Sterling. Going into the vaults as we try to make sense of the present and the future. This has been Locked On MLB for the first day of December 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.